All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we are going to be at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again thankful for the opportunity to be here again tonight on this wonderful Lord's Day, and what a blessing it's been to be together in your house, singing praises and hearing from you. And Father, again, we ask that you would speak to each of us personally tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word again. Looking forward to all that you have for us as we continue this journey through Ephesians. And I've just been enjoying it. I pray that everyone else has as well. And looking forward to what you have for us tonight. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verses 19 through 21, there are four results from being Spirit-filled that we saw in verse 18. First of all, believers speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that is, they exhort and instruct each other. Two is singing and making of melody of individual song and praise for the Lord. Number three is there is giving thanks always. The Spirit enables the Christian to be grateful for all things divinely allowed to enter his life, since they will be used for good. And number four, there is mutual submission, that is, showing deference to the wishes of one another, as long as that to which the believer submits is in the fear of God, which is to say, in accord with what pleases him. These things, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to have these things going on in our lives. I like, and this morning after service and all, I was downstairs and I was walking through and checking doors and lights and stuff, and I was singing away, and all of a sudden I thought, I wonder if somebody's down here still. I don't want to submit anybody to that doesn't have to, right? So I got thinking, I wonder if anybody's still in here. And I didn't see anybody, so if you were offended by my singing, I'm sorry, but I just like to sing. And so every once in a while, God just gives me one of the hymns, and I just start singing it. And I could be driving down the road doing it. I could be walking through the house doing it. I could be in the church building doing it. I was out there singing out in the yard the other day. I mean, most of the people are in cars driving by. They're not going to hear me anyway, right? So it just a blessing that we can do that. And then always giving thanks to God in everything, right? The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. We say, well, what about the bad things? In everything, give thanks. God's using even the bad things, what we think is bad, he's still using those for our good. And so we need to be thanking him for those. So these verses summarize the immediate personal consequences of obeying the command to be filled with the Spirit, namely singing, giving thanks, and humbly submitting to others. That submitting thing is something we don't like. We have a hard time submitting. The authority thing, we don't like anybody telling us what we can and can't do, right? We have a hard time with that. I have a really hard time with that. The only problem is that don't we have God that tells us what to do and what not to do? If we have trouble submitting to authority, we're going to have trouble submitting to God. It's just that easy. And so we need to learn to be able to submit to others. The rest of the epistle features instruction based on obedience to this command. We are to sing and worship. The first two signs of Spirit fullness, a singing heart. I ought to be able to sing, and I know, I just enjoy singing. I keep saying that, I know, but I do. I know I'm not good at it. I don't profess to be good at it, but I like to. Why? Because God's put these songs in my heart. And what out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? If they're in there, they're going to come out. And so we need to be singing. So that singing heart, following his command to be filled with the Spirit, Paul gave a summary of the consequences of obedience to that command. Psalms. Many Old Testament psalms were put to music primarily, but the term was used also of vocal music in general. The early church sang the psalms. Many of the psalms primarily speak about the nature and work of God, and especially in the lives of believers. Above everything else, they magnify and glorify God. In this day and age, it's interesting to me what they call music. I just like, that's not music. It's noise, but it ain't music. And I had one the other day was talking to me about why is it that people want the music so blasted loud? I said, it's because they don't want you to hear them singing. They said, but they're musicians. Shouldn't they want you to hear what they're singing? I said, well, that's the only thing I can think of. Why does it need to be so loud? And I can tell you, I was approached here at this church years ago by someone that said, the music isn't loud enough. I said, I'm near deaf and I can hear it. That didn't go over very big. But I said, this is crazy. It doesn't have to blow your ears out. It doesn't have to be so loud you can't hear the person who's singing. I want to hear the words. There's a message in the hymns, and I want to hear the words. But some people, they want to sing because they want attention drawn to them, but they don't want you to hear what they're saying. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, I'm the opposite. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying, but I don't want the music so loud that you can't even think because it's so loud. But some people, that's what they want. These songs are supposed to glorify God, not glorify the singer. You know, I've been to churches and they all get up and they applaud and all. I'm like, they didn't put on a show for you. They were singing for God. Right? I mean, that's the way I was raised. They're not singing for you. They're singing for God. You just get to be blessed by it. If you know what they're saying, because you can hear the words. There's no need to have music so loud that you can't hear the words. And hymns, this refers primarily to songs of praise, which in the early church were probably distinguished from the Psalms, which exalted God in that they specifically praised the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they should be doing. Today they're taking hard rock music and trying to put some Christian words to it and make it sound like it's a Christian music. It's not. I have to tell you, if you do some studying in the Bible, you'll find out that Satan was very musically talented. Satan is taking counterfeit music and bringing it into the churches to get rid of the God-glorifying music and replace it with something that's not right. And people say, well, how do you know if it's right or not? Well, if you want to get up and dance around the building, it's probably not God-honoring. Just saying. It should be something that we should be able to hear the words, and those words should be glorifying to God. And if it hurts your head, it's probably too loud. And it doesn't need to be. Many biblical scholars believe that various New Testament passages, such as Colossians 1, 12 through 16, were used as hymns in the early church. So look at Colossians. Just a couple books over. Colossians 1, 12 through 16. Colossians Colossians 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I didn't even attempt to try and sing that. I didn't hear one praise the Lord out of the whole group. But I wouldn't even attempt to sing. I believe that maybe there's a lot of stuff in Scripture that you can put to music and you can sing. And it would be God honoring, it's his word. Then spiritual songs, probably songs of personal testimony expressing truths of the grace of salvation in Christ, and the songs that covered a broad category that included any music expressing spiritual truth. Because we have salvation, we sing songs of salvation, right? Look at Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And then Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149:1 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. And we saw making melody literally means to pluck a stringed instrument, so it could refer primarily to instrumental music while including vocal also. Then in your heart to the Lord, not just public but private. The Lord himself is both the source and the object of the believer's song-filled heart. Like I said, it doesn't matter. I sing all the time. Try to do it when I'm by myself so it's not offensive to others, but I like to sing, and we should. God has put a new song in our heart. We should want to sing. That such music pleases God can be seen in the account of the temple dedication when the singing so honored the Lord that his glory came down. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Starting in verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12, says, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When a believer walks in the Spirit, he has an inside joy that manifests itself in music. God put music in the souls and then on the lips of his children who walk in obedience. A person that does not have a song in their heart cannot sing from his heart or with his heart. He can only sing with his lips, and neither his music nor his message will have the power of the Spirit to bless others in Christ's name. God put a song in our heart. We need to sing. We need to be willing to sing. I'm amazed at the wonderful messages contained in the beautiful hymns. It's amazing as we sing those. And the writers brought all of this for us so that we could have joy by singing them. And sometimes I wonder, do we pay attention to what we sing? Because we sing some of this, right? I surrender all, when truly we think I surrender some, or very little. I mean, do we pay attention to the message that's in the hymns? Because some of them are really great. Now, I will tell you, there's some hymn books out there. I wouldn't give you one of the rocks I'm moving from the back to the front for it. They're just not worth anything. But there's some good hymns out there. There's some people that truly love the Lord, and they've put some stuff to paper and put music to it, and they're amazing. There's a lot to be learned from those hymns, too. We can enjoy those. When there's no one else around to share them with, then singing lifts your soul. All of the Psalms are beautiful, but Psalms like the 91st Psalm bring hope. God loves for us to sing just to Him. We should be a sweet, sweet sound in His ear. I get it. People are thinking, you're not much of a sweet sound to anybody's ear. Well, God thinks so. Said, right? He thinks so. He wants us to sing. Many of the spiritual songs are like prayers. Whatever we do, sing, read Psalms, pray, or just praise God shows the love we have for Him. I don't have a problem singing because I love my Savior. So I want to sing praises to Him. I want Him to know I love Him. Not always what I should be, but I still want Him to know I love Him. And I thank God He's still working on me. To whom do believers sing? Although believers sing among themselves, their songs are to be directed to the Lord. Our singing and making melody is not for the purpose of drawing attention to ourselves or of entertaining others, but of rejoicing in and praising God. As I said, when people get up and sing a special, it's not to impress those of us who are here. They're supposed to be singing for Him. We just get the benefit of it. And thank God. I mean, we've had some, what I think are some pretty great specials that have been sung here. And I enjoy them. And I thank God for them. That's my shameless plug, by the way, just in case you were wondering. And we do have revival coming up, just in case anybody wants to sign up for any special music during that week. It's in October. All right. That was my shameless plug. Whether we sing a solo, singing with a choir, or singing with a congregation, our focus should be on the Lord, not on ourselves or other people. He is the audience to whom we sing. Music that honors the Lord also blesses His people. And like I said, I get a blessing when these specials are done. I think it's great. And I think the more the merrier, right? A beautiful, soothing piece of music can calm one's nerves, remove fear and anxiety, reduce bitterness and anger, and help turn our attention from ourselves and the cares and problems of the world to God. It can easily get us focused back on what's important because it's all about God and not about us. Then the second sign of spirit fullness is a thankful heart. So look at back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Believers' thankfulness is for who God is and for what He has done through His Son, their Savior and Lord. As I've said many times, if all I received was salvation in Jesus Christ and nothing else, it'd be enough. It'd be enough. I have eternal life. Is that not enough? But think of all the stuff that God gives us. I'm thankful. for all the stuff that he's just opened the windows of heaven and poured out upon us. It's a blessing. We are rich beyond measure. And yet, sometimes I think we act like we have nothing. We belong to him. As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, we belong to him. He owns it all. We are joint heirs with Christ. But if he takes everything away and all we have left is salvation, isn't it enough? I think so. I think so, by a long shot. The sad fact, God's children are more prone to ask than to thank. We can go to him with our laundry list of things that we want and not think twice about giving him thanks. I got in the habit years ago, I thank him for what he's done already. I thank him for what he's doing currently. And I've even thanked him for what he's going to do in the future. Because I know he's God. He wants what's best for me, so I know what he's doing in the future is for my good and for his glory. So I can thank him for things I don't even know he's going to do. What a blessing to be able to do that. So the question is, when are we to be thankful? The Bible tells us always. Always. We're to be thankful always. Recognize God's control on our lives in every detail as he seeks to conform us to the image of his Son. To be thankless is to disregard God's control, Christ's lordship, and the Holy Spirit's filling. Nothing must grieve the Holy Spirit so much as the believer who does not give thanks. Constantly thanking him. I know this sounds crazy, but we'll go heading into church, and if we're running a little bit behind and the traffic light's green when I get there, I'll say, "Thank you, Lord." People think, well, he didn't turn that light green. Well, he made sure it was green when I got there. Could have easily been red. Could have been just turning yellow and I would have had to stop for the red light, right? But thanking him for all things. I've actually thanked him for the car accident I was in back in 1993. People said, that is crazy. Yeah. It is. And I might be crazy. Knowing that that is a constant reminder of where I don't ever want to go again. Thank God for that. See, people say, how can you thank him for bad things? Because he uses them for good. He got my attention and got me back where I needed to be. And I thank him for that. I could have been out there still wandering in the wilderness. Not a good place to be. There are three attitudes of thankfulness. The first is easy, and that is to thank God for the things he has already blessed us with, which is right, as the Bible instructs us to be thankful for the things we are given. The second is that of being grateful for the hope of blessing and victory yet to come. The first level is after the fact. The second is anticipation of the fact, which is more difficult than thanking him afterwards. Thanking God before a blessing is more difficult than thanking him after and requires more faith and spiritual maturity. This second level is where faith and hope begin because it involves not only the unseen, but the yet inexperienced. We haven't even experienced it yet. We can still thank him for it. I thank God for the rapture that's going to take place. I'm looking forward to it. When that trumpet sounds and I'm out of here, praise the Lord. People say, you want to go home? I want to go home. I'm willing to be here as long as he wants me to be here, but I want to go home. This is not my home. As a child of God, I'm just passing through here. My home is in heaven. I heard a guy one time say, my mansion in heaven must be really good because Jesus has had an awful long time to prepare it for me. God isn't up there preparing that. It's already there. It's ready. It's done. If you're a child of God, you have a home in heaven. In fact, the Bible talks about our mansion, right? In my house there are many mansions, right? We have a mansion up over the hilltop, and it's ready and waiting for us. It's just a matter of when we get there. And let me just ask you this. If God can speak everything into existence like that, make everything we know in 6 days, including man, what makes us think it's taken him thousands of years to create our space in heaven? It's already ready. The third level is thanking God in the midst of the battle, while we are still undergoing trouble or testing, and even when it looks like we are failing or being overwhelmed. Anybody here ever feel overwhelmed? I do. I'll tell my wife, I'm just overwhelmed right now. There's just so much going on and so many different directions I'm being pulled in. I'm just overwhelmed. Thank God that he helps us through those times. We need him more than we think so. If we can thank God only when things are going well for us, our thankfulness is on the bottom rung of faithfulness. If we can thank him in anticipation of what he will do in the future, that's when we show more spiritual maturity. But to thank God while we are in the midst of the pain, trials, or persecution shows a level of maturity that few Christians seem to know much about, but that our Heavenly Father wants all his children to have. Notice that even our thanksgiving has to be done in the name of Jesus. This says that we should thank God for all things, good and bad. Doesn't matter what they are, good or bad. We must assume from that sometimes the things we call bad are really a way to help us grow in the Lord. I always think of Romans 8:28 when I think of this, because we know all things work to good, right? All things work to good for together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. That's a promise to God's children. And thank God for it. Notice also that the thanks is to the Father. The greatest gift we can give to God is a thankful heart. Because all we can give to him is simply grateful recognition that all we have is from him. We give him thanks for all the things because he has given us all things, and because giving thanks in everything is God's will in Christ Jesus, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then to glorify God is to thank him no matter how much we may be hurting, disappointed, or even fail to understand. The Spirit-filled Christian is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God and continually gives thanks to him for his indescribable gift. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 15. 2 Corinthians 9:12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The only person who can genuinely give thanks for all things is the humble person, the person who knows he deserves nothing and who therefore gives thanks even for the smallest things. Lack of thankfulness comes from pride. A thankless heart comes from pride. If it were not for Christ, it would be foolish to be thankful for everything, because apart from him, all things do not turn out for good. But because we are in Christ, the good things and the bad things all have part in God's conforming us to the image of his Son. He's working all things together for our good, that we would be conformed to the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said this morning, the more we walk with Christ, the more we spend time with him, the more he's going to rub off on us and the more we're going to be like him. Same thing here. We just, without him, what's there to be thankful for? That's why I can't fathom what are people who don't know the Lord thankful for? Without him, what can you be thankful for? Everything comes from him. We need to thank him and have a thankful heart. All right, let's pray.